If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council is dedicated to restoring the Judeo Christian values that made this country great. I'm stumbling over my words already. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. And you can visit our website for archived shows as well. Like I say, the number is 718-305-7176, and thank you for being with us tonight. We have some good guests and some good topics tonight. We have Summer Hancock from the Roane County Tea Party, and we're going to talk about the pseudofedrin issue in Tennessee. There's legislation out there that proposes to make anything with pseudofedrin in it, and that's, of course, is the active ingredient in Sudafed. It's also one of the ingredients that's used in meth production, and, of course, we do have a meth problem here in Tennessee. And there's legislation that would require a prescription and limit the amount that you could buy in a year. So we're going to talk about that. Summer is in the healthcare profession, so she deals with that issue some. And a little later on, schedule permitting, we're going to have Representative Rick Womack to talk to us about the situation with Common Core here in Tennessee. He had a bill, House Bill 2332. And we're having some scheduling issues with that bill. And you may have heard about that a little bit if you're following what's going on here in Tennessee with Common Core. And so, if schedule permitting, he will join us about 7:45. And then later on, we're going to have a discussion with Dave Nance. That's not Dave Nance, not Dave Vance, from Gibson County, Tennessee. And he's going to talk to us about some of the county-level things they have going on there in Gibson County. They have, like I would say, the majority of counties in Tennessee, problems with their county commission. You know, a lot of our county commissions just seem to be little mini versions of D.C. and Tennessee, and so they have some spending problems and some leadership problems. And he may have found a solution for that. He's rounded up a good number of candidates that are going to run for the county commission spots this time around. Some are Constitution Party candidates, some are GOP candidates. So we'll look forward to hearing from Dave a little later on in the evening. So once again, like I say, thank you for being with us. We've got a few quick announcements. Let's start with the Common Core, even though we'll be talking about this a little bit more. If you're not tracking, they're going to have a rally. Let's see. This is Wednesday, rally 1:30 p.m. outside on Legislative Plaza. And, you know, you're going to have children present, so make sure your signs are appropriate. Repeal Common Core is the message, all right? Now, there's some phone calls you need to make as well. You need to call Speaker Harwell at 615-741-0709, Representative Mark White at 615-741-4415, and Representative Harry Brooks at 615-741-6879, and tell them to, you know, be polite, but ask them to schedule House Bill 2332 to repeal Common Core as soon as possible. What they've tried to do is they've tried to put it at the end of the calendar and kill it. So have them schedule it, get it scheduled, and have a vote on it. And, you know, we'll just take it from there, however it turns out. So make sure you make those calls. You can make those tonight. If you can't make the call during the day, that's fine. Leave a message. And then if you can make the rally on Wednesday, that's 1:30 p.m. outside Legislative Plaza. Another event that's going to come up here, I don't know if you've heard of her. Her name is Julie Aftab. She's a Pakistani Christian. And a few years back, she was, as a matter of fact, she was 16 years old, and she was working as an operator in a timely public call office in Pakistan when a man walked in and saw the silver cross dangling on her neck, and he asked her three times, are you a Christian? She said, yes, sir, the first two times, and then got frustrated. He said, did you hear me? They argued, and the man abruptly left the office, returning 30 or 40 minutes later with a turquoise bottle. Aftab tried to block the arc of battery acid, but it melted much of the right side of her face and left her with bone swirling, deep burns on her chest and arms. She ran for the door, but a second man grabbed her hair, and they poured the acid down her throat, searing her esophagus for the crime of being a Christian in Pakistan. She's going to be here in Tennessee. She'll be in the Montgomery County Public Library Sunday, March 16th at 1 o'clock. All right, there's some other events in the Nashville area, and I will get those to you here as soon as we get a chance. Anyway, we've got our first guest on the line here. Matter of fact, if you're interested, if you go to actchapterofmiddletennessee.com, you can see her schedule, but I will read it off to you a little bit later. Anyway, we've got Summer on the line, and we'll go ahead and get started with our discussion of PSE in Tennessee. How are you doing tonight, Summer?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I appreciate you for being with us. Now, you work in the healthcare industry, correct?
I am actually retired from the healthcare industry. Yes, I still keep up to date on things. Now
okay,
I'm actually a homeschool teacher.
Okay. But now you worked with a lot of elderly, correct?
Yes. I started out working in a nursing home, standard nursing home, and I went from there to an assisted living facility. And then from there, I went ahead and I became a paramedic.
Okay.
So I was actually going out to, calls on houses and things.
Okay. And a lot of the people that you dealt with, they used things on a regular basis like Sudafed and other medicines, over-the-counter medicines that had PSE in it, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, for crying out loud, both my mom and dad use it because they've got really bad sinus problems.
Yeah.
I've got tons of friends and family where I live that are, considered senior citizens that do use over-the-counter medications to control sinus problems. I myself use them. My husband uses them. It's an ongoing thing, especially with living in the Southeast in the pollen count. We've
right.
got a lot of problems with allergies to begin with. So
okay.
over-the-counter is the easiest way to go to obtain it. It's also the cheapest way.
So if if they were to pass the legislation, and the legislation limits the amount and it requires a prescription, how would that impact the people that you mentioned, especially the elderly?
Well, first of all, if they want to go ahead and pass the law stating that pseudoephedrine, which, if you don't know the actual term, it's Sudafed, and they want to pass it and make it a prescription-only drug in the state of Tennessee, it will cause major repercussions because this is a drug that you can go to Walmart and pick up for $6. It's a drug that you can buy on Amazon.com for $6. It's not an expensive medication, but it works. So if we start limiting it so it's a prescription-only drug, then we have to now add in the extra expense and time to get a doctor's appointment, to drive to your doctor's appointment, to wait in the lobby, to wait in the exam room, talk to the doctor, get the prescription, now drive all the way to your pharmacist, which most people would probably use Walmart anyway. So you're back now at Walmart to pick up this prescription that is now going to cost you mere $100 that should have just cost you $6 at Walmart to begin with.
Okay.
So you've got insurance involved. You've got gas money involved. But when we've got an elderly person who is already sick, which means their immune system is already compromised, going to a doctor's office to sit in the lobby for God only knows how long, exposed to other sick people, now we're compounding the illness for the original person who's got the sinus problems. And if anybody
right.
knows, elderly, when they have sinus problems or an upper respiratory issue, because they're not as mobile and because they're not as agile and active, it 9 times out of 10 will develop into pneumonia if they're not careful. Well, now there's a hospital stay involved. and the risk of death, because pneumonia kills more elderly than anybody else. So by them being able to obtain Sudafed over the counter, you know, send their daughter, their grandchild, whoever, to Walmart to pick up this medication, you now don't have to go, call and make an appointment. You don't have to wait for your appointment date. You don't have to sit in the lobby, sit in the exam room, get your prescription, drive all the way over to Walmart, pick it up to go back home to start a medication that you probably could have started a week ago if you didn't have to wait for a doctor's appointment.
So it costs you time, it costs you money, and, of course, you know, like you say, anytime
aggravation.
You're, you know, time, aggravation, and, of course, you do, anytime you're around the hospital, you know, you kind of you seem to increase your chances of picking something up. That's especially
Absolutely.
True for the very young and the very old. Now, of course, those who are pushing for this, they're not pushing for this to try to, you know, make it hard or more expensive for
grandma
old people,
and grandpa,
for older people.
You know.
Yeah, that's not their intent. You know, obviously their intent is, you know, this pseudoephedrine is the main ingredient or one of the main ingredients they use in meth production. So,
yes.
What do you say to that? I mean, I've got some thoughts on it, but I want to go ahead and hear from you on that.
Okay, plain and simple. If you stop the sale of pseudoephedrine, it's not going to stop the manufacturing of meth. Just like making Oxycontin, hydrocodone, Xanax prescription does not stop them from making it onto the streets to be sold black market.
Right.
Also, the other thing is most people don't realize that 95% of all meth in the United States was not produced, you know, was not produced in the United States. 95% of all meth in the continental United States is from Mexico.
Yep.
And I have the numbers to back that up. Also,
yeah, I've seen similar numbers, and that's true for Tennessee as well.
It's very true.
You know,
because the groundwork and the track work has already been laid. They laid it back in the 80s with cocaine.
Right.
So the cocaine trails that they were using to ship cocaine into the United States, they're now shipping meth in. Coke
right.
in the United States, it has dropped dramatically, but now the new demon is meth. But they've used the same exact trails and the same exact trafficking for marijuana, for meth, for heroin, for cocaine and everything. They've already got the track work laid down. Why change something that worked?
Right, right. And there's been similar states that have passed laws like this. I've got to read this, and we'll get right back to this real quick. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we are talking with Summer Hancock from the Roane County Tea Party on the issue of, I'm going to call it PSE, pseudoephedrine, the pseudofed bills that are in our General Assembly that seek to restrict the amount that you can buy and to require a prescription. And the Sheriff's Association, other law enforcement officials endorse this. The governor is pushing it. And, of course, it's just another front on that war on drugs that we have been fighting for years now and, by the way, are not winning. I want to go back to something you mentioned a minute ago. And now I didn't hear quite 95%, but I've seen 80 and 85%, but, you know, either way, the vast majority of meth that's coming in from the Mexican cartels, Mississippi and Oregon passed similar legislation a couple years ago, and they've really had no impact on the meth. As a matter of fact, the meth that's coming in from Mexico is much more pure, and it's more powerful, more pure. And so, you know,
it's
even if you shut down.
The same exact thing with the cocaine, the marijuana, and the heroin that comes out of Mexico. It's pure.
Yeah.
It's uncut.
And so, even if in Tennessee we pass this, even if we shut down the 20%, you still got the 80% or the 85% that's still coming in. And, you know, we won't secure our border, and we're not going to secure our border. Plus, you already have all these This cartel is already organized in the country. As you mentioned a few minutes ago, the trail is already there. They weren't successful in stopping it years ago. And so now you're going to pass a law, even though you have good intentions, and really what it's going to do is going to be more than an inconvenience, but it's also going to add to the cost, add to the aggravation. And it's one of those things, another
government attempt. You're cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Yeah. So you're not really punishing the people it's designed to punish. They're still going to find a way around it. Even the ones producing in Tennessee, they will find
a way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where there's a will, there's a way. If they want it, I mean, for crying out loud, cocaine is unanimously illegal. 50 states, completely illegal.
Right.
But how many people buy it every day? Black tar heroin, regular heroin, are all illegal. People die from overdoses every day.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to talk about illegal drugs because you mentioned it a minute ago.
You know,
look at all the legal stuff, the OxyContin and all the
OxyContin,
other hard.
You've got Xanax. You've got Ativan. You've got Ambien, the sleeping pill. You've got pain pills that the abuse of them is going through the roof. And if you go to Dr. A over here and he won't give it to you, go to Dr. B. Well, if he won't give it to you, go to Dr. C. So all this is going to do is increase doctor shopping in the state of Tennessee as well. So they don't want people to doctor shop. They've made it a felony. But yet, how is Xanax, and all the other, Loratab, OxyContin, all these drugs that are prescription only making it to the street? If making something illegal or harder to obtain save life and stop criminals, that would be great.
Yeah.
But last time I checked, murder was illegal, but people are being killed every day. Where
right.
there's a will, there's a way. If you want the drugs, you're going to get it.
Right. From what I understand, there's already a registry, I don't know if it's actually called a meth registry, but a registry for people
it's a pseudoephedrine registry is what it is.
It already exists. So my first question would be, are we fully utilizing that? My guess is we're not. And, of course,
until
you're not fully utilizing it. Go ahead.
It has actually helped to slow down the amount of pseudoephedrine that ends up on the street and hasn't stopped it. But the amount that you're allowed to buy per year is already limited. You're only allowed to buy, I think, one box every 2 months, as it is. It makes it hard for the citizens who don't abuse it, and it doesn't do anything to the criminals who do.
Right.
Basically, and not only that, say my husband's used up his allotment for the year. Okay, fine. Well, I start going, picking it up, and using it on my ID. Well, my ID is now, I've gotten my limit for the year. Say we're only in February. He's got his limit. I've got my limit for the entire year. So what do? I go grab my 94-year-old grandmother's ID, and I start buying it on her ID. And I just start stocking up everybody's limits. So now nobody who needs it can get it, but now I've gotten all the stuff that I need to make as much meth as I want. Because literally, the manufacturing of meth, it is a let's say $30 investment.
Doesn't take much. I'm going to have to jump in here. Yeah, we're going to have to take a real quick break. Short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Tennessee.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Been looking for an online gathering place? A familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Summer Hammock, Roane County Tea Party, on the issue of pseudoephedrine. We were talking during the break, and we were kind of talking percentages of the counties of, you know, where it comes from. And you mentioned that in your county, Roane County, because of the interstate system and everything, the easy access, that about 95% of the meth comes from somewhere besides Tennessee.
Absolutely.
And as I understand it, in Tennessee, there's about 15 counties that make up the majority of the meth production and, I think, meth use. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes.
And
it's
Anderson County is one of them. I'm not sure of the rest of them.
Yes, it is. There is a large, for Roane County, we have 55,000 residents in our county. We have I-40 that cuts through the middle. We also have two other state highways that go all the way from the Gulf Coast up to Canada. So we're the perfect segue for people to get anywhere in the United States through my county. And
yeah,
you're going to have less access to the drug, and you're going to have less access or less problems with it in smaller counties like Scott County or other counties where you don't have direct access to interstates coming through your county. Because, you know, why would you want to go through a small capillary to get blood back to the heart when you can go through a major artery?
Right.
And, I mean, for point of fact here, last year we had two terrorists that were on the FBI watch list stopped and arrested in Roane County because of the way our artery system works going back and forth through the country. And ironically, one of them was coming from Texas and going to New Jersey, and he got stopped right here in Roane County.
Wow. Well,
so
I wonder
what
if he's selling,
was he
selling meth?
No, actually, he got pulled over on a routine traffic stop. Him and his buddy both got pulled over on a routine traffic stop on I-40 by Roane County Sheriff.
He was probably on his way to go see some of the people that the Department of Homeland Security here in Tennessee have made a partnership with, would be my guess. I could be wrong. I mean,
well, I know the arresting officer, and he had said it was literally the guy was passing through the state. He had no business in Tennessee. He was trying to get to New Jersey.
Yeah,
he had no intentions of stopping to do anything, to talk to anybody, nothing. Him and his buddy were driving straight through from Texas to Jersey.
Yeah. Well,
and they got stopped in my little county.
Back to the pseudoephedrine here. Mm-hmm. Are you tracking the that Representative Shipley? I guess he's got his own bill, which is a lot more generous in terms of the amount that you can buy, and I don't think it requires a prescription. Let's see.
Well, I mean, even if you want to limit the amount,
right,
it's not going to affect it. Because like I had said earlier, if my husband meets his limit for the year, I will start going in and purchasing it. well, if I reach my limit for the year, then my mom's going to go in and buy it. And then if my mom reaches her limit, then my dad's going to go and buy it, which is exactly what has happened to both of my parents because they both used the drug, Sudafed. My mother had reached her limit for the year, and the pharmacist told my mother, I cannot give you any more. You've reached your limit. Have Steve come in and buy it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so
where
is that stopping anything? It's not.
Right, right. Like you say, most of it comes from out and from out of state. They will work around this. It'll be a burden on those who need it. Once again, you're criminalizing, you know.
You're criminalizing
the actions
of 95% of the citizens who aren't using meth.
Right, right. Well, the other thing I'm curious to know
with several other laws.
Right. I'm curious to know how many of these people that are involved in the meth trade are repeat offenders. I mean, like, usually that's the case with drugs in general. 98% you have kind of a revolving door. So I'd be curious to know what the actual numbers are in Tennessee.
Meth is one of those drugs where, like pot, you can try it once and say, oh, yeah, that was great, and move on to something else. Cocaine, whatever. Meth does not have the ability to try it once. You use it once, you're addicted. There is no trial period. There's no, 30-day money-back guarantee. There's nothing when it comes to meth. You either are or you're not.
Right.
And the only way that you can stop is you have to do a very, very extensive 6-month inpatient rehab. And that's provided you can do that successfully.
Right, right.
But meth is not a trial drug. It's not a recreation drug. It's not a drug just to kind of help you sit back and relax. It's not something that you're going to take just to, okay, crap, I need to study for the next 3 days for my finals at UT. There's no purpose for it other than to get high.
Yeah.
And what's ironic is, it causes major anger issues. It causes Parkinson's-style actions and everything. A lot of people who have it, you'll see them, and they'll start shaking. They start scratching real bad. And ironically, one of the most well-known people in world history was one of the major users of it, which is Adolf Hitler.
I had heard that the Nazi had used it. I didn't know
meth
that. Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew that the Nazis did use it. I didn't know that Hitler actually used it.
Hitler,
I knew that you gave
it
to their soldiers.
Why, towards the end of his pictures, like when you would see him standing, he always had one hand behind his back. It said it was shaking so bad he couldn't control it, and he had the scabs and stuff from where he had been itching really bad.
Oh, okay.
But meth, they started making meth back in World War II. As Germans did as a way to start making super soldiers because they wanted the soldiers to stay up for days and days and days on end. Well, guess who they tested it on? The Jews in the concentration camps.
Yeah, work them for days and days, no doubt.
Right. So it's one of those things that meth has been around for generations.
Yeah.
It's just now rearing its ugly head because it's becoming, a very easily accessible drug. And it just happens to be the new hotness for right now. Like back in the 80s, it was Coke. Back in the 90s, LSD started making a name for itself again.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that making it a prescription-only drug is not going to limit people's desire and people's ability to obtain it. Because everybody who lives in the state of Tennessee knows you can get from the southern border to the northern border, 2 hours, 3 hours most. And you can drive to Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky, Virginia and North Carolina to pick it up and bring it back into the state.
Yeah.
You can just order it off the internet.
Yeah, you've just created another market for it when you do that.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that when, how many times when you were a kid, mom would tell you, no, you cannot have a cookie. Well, what was the one thing you wanted?
Yeah, Yeah.
It was,
I got
you wanted
point.
That cookie, and you're going to find a way to get it. Well, if you tell people they can't have it, they're going to find a new way to get it. It just makes more creative criminals is all it does.
Well, we've got enough of those. And meth is definitely, you know, it's a nightmare for the people involved, and certainly any kids that are in, you know, that have parents involved, it's a nightmare. But, you know, the way they're trying to deal with it is definitely not the way to go about it. And speaking of nightmares, one of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. All right, we're going to take a short break. Don't go. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Summer Hammock from Roane County Tea Party. We've been talking about PSE legislation, pseudo-veteran legislation that's being proposed here in Tennessee. And Summer, I think we've pretty much covered everything. You have anything you want to say before you go?
Just basically making it a prescription-only drug is not going to stop meth. It would be great if it did, but it won't. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, and it'll just hurt those that are using it legally, that need it on a regular basis. Well, hey, I appreciate you being with us.
It's just going to hurt the ones who use it legally.
Yeah, I appreciate you being with us, and I hope to have you on some other time.
Great, thank you. Have a good night, Dave.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. If anybody has anything on this issue, you know, like to hear from you, call in. If you're pro, con, you got something good, bad, or ugly to say about it, as long as it's not too ugly on the air here, I'd love to hear from you. You know, there are, of course, financial impacts, too, once you start calculating up, and I did have some numbers on it, but, you know, just kind of think about the people that you know that use Sudafed and start multiplying that by the doctor's visits, you know, the gas spent, you know, the whole money. Is this something else that's going to have to be, you know, that Medicare is not going to be involved with, or insurance in general, because it's now a prescription drug? I mean, what's that going to do? You know, now you've got somebody who has to wait to see the doctor to, or even if it was a pharmacist, even if you had to get a pharmacist prescription there, that's going to slow that whole process down. And I don't know that a pharmacist would really. Thank you.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Did you know in 2010, our legislators voted to apply for Race to the Top, which included an assault on traditional public schools?
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned.
Hey, Kurt, how are we doing tonight?
Okay, Dave. How about yourself?
Well, okay, minus some obvious volume issues.
Yeah, I know.
Are you able to hear me?
I know.
Are you able to hear
me? I was hearing you fine up until just a minute ago, and so then that's when I dialed in on the phone.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So,
Lady Michelle says she hears both of us.
Well, good. Good. Okay. I don't know what the problem was. It was not my mute button this time. I promise. I checked it. It was not my mute button. I don't know.
Okay.
The sound just left. I pushed a couple different ones. All right. Appreciate it, Kurt. We'll wait. Hopefully,
I'll hang on the phone here. Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. I'm going to see if I can get the commercial that Karen Bracken did for Common Core to play. Let me try it again here and see.
Did you know in 2010 our legislators voted to apply for Race to the Top, which included an assault on traditional public schools and teachers, new common standards and assessments, and increased data collection on our children without ever looking at the application and without ever reviewing those standards. Many Tennesseans are not aware of the truth behind Race to the Top. The new standards were never tested and they were never internationally benchmarked as promised. Furthermore, there was no evaluation of the new standards to ensure they were developmentally age appropriate. We need to call our state legislators and demand they repeal Common Core standards. They need to undo the damage they did by casting an uninformed vote. Rest assured, Tennessee parents, grandparents, and teachers will not be casting an uninformed vote this November. To help in the fight against Common Core, join Tennessee Against Common Core. Register at TNACC.net. That's TNACC.net.
And that was Karen Bracken. That's a commercial, like I say, that's been played on 99.7 out of Nashville and 103.5 out of Cleveland, Tennessee, I believe. And you can go to her website, Tennesseans Against Common Core, and get the address there if you want to donate. She also has postcards she'll send you for free that you can flood the governor's office with, send them to your reps, your state senators, anybody up there that you think you can get some kind of response from. But, you know, right now, like I say, this rally is huge Wednesday. I wish I could make it. I won't be able to. But if you can be there at all, be there and let them hear from you, because, you know, the elitist in our state, and that's the governor and, unfortunately, most of the GOP, and I would say pretty much all the Democrat Party, they want this. They want this common core, this communist core. And that's what it is. If you look and do any digging into it, you'll see that it's not a system of education that's designed to reinforce American values, to reinforce and teach about our Constitution, teach about our founding. It's just more leftist garbage. Now, we already have enough problem with the textbooks. I mean, with or without Common Core, we have problems in our textbooks, and we have for quite a while. You know, people are just now waking up to that. You know, we had Jackie Archer and Hal Rounds, and I'm sure I'll miss somebody here and get in trouble, but let's see, Lisa Moore and several others across the state that reviewed textbooks that were going to be adopted by Tennessee and found problems. There's now legislation proposed in the Tennessee General Assembly to address those problems. Whether or not it'll pass, who knows? But you've got to stay involved. You got to follow your school board. Don't assume that your school board really knows what's going on, because it seems like, even with the county commission, and I bet you it's the same in your county, you got a few people that make the decisions, and for the most part, everybody else just shakes their head, yes, sir, three bags full, and goes along with it. Same thing on the school board. You know, most of those people, they don't really track education issues. They're there, and if the director and maybe one of the people on the board that's a teacher or something, or that's affiliated with the education system, if they say, hey, this is what we need to do, then that's probably what they're going to do. Anyway, Representative Rick Womack's number just popped up on the screen here, so we're going to go to him. Representative Womack, how are you doing tonight? Oh, he's not there. Hold on, wrong one.
Can you hear
Representative
me?
Womack, how are you, sir?
Good. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, absolutely. It's been an interesting night down here.
Well, we were talking about the whole Common Core issue. We were talking about, that we need to repeal it. We were talking about the rally on Wednesday, and so you just finished something. Like, can we get a quick update from you? What went on?
Well, I had, there's several different ways you can follow the rules or go around the rules and come to committee rules. My bills have been, by the chairman of the full education committee, have been put to the very end of the calendar, which essentially means they're dead, and if they're even going to be heard. So what I did this past week on Thursday, I went ahead and added all three of those bills as amendments to an education bill that came to the floor of the House tonight by Representative Bill Dunn, and seeking an opportunity, one, to let the leadership know that sooner or later, the people's voice is going to be heard on Common Core, on stopping park testing, and on the teachers' evaluations being done fairly and properly. So what happened tonight was, as the amendments for that bill came forth, I stood up and I spoke on each one of those issues, on stopping and repealing Common Core, on stopping park, and on changing the teachers' evaluations where they're evaluated on the students in their class through a pre- and post-test system. So
okay.
The people were heard tonight. Now the next step is that we will do the same thing again, bringing these bills to the floor of the House. But next time we're going to vote on them. They won't be withdrawn. And the reason I did withdraw those tonight was because I had given my word earlier to the sponsor that I would withdraw those. And my original intent was just to be heard and let the people, and particularly the other legislators on the floor of the House, come to know and understand what Common Core is about. Because, David, the biggest problem we have up here is misinformation. And 6 months ago, I thought Common Core was a good thing. And I spent the last 4 months in intense research and found out this is a big hoax. It's a scam. But a lot of legislators, through advertising and pushed by SCORE and Bill Gates Foundation, and I mean the money he's been pumping into this thing through the Tennessee Chamber of Commerce and others to say how great Common Core is, a lot of legislators hear that. And tonight they were exposed to the real truth about Common Core and what it's all about.
Well, I don't guess you've had any chance to get a reaction from them yet, from any of them?
No, not really. I mean, session was over. I'm still upstairs here in the Capitol. Everybody else has gone home for the night, so.
So all those bills are dead for the year then?
No, they're not. By filing those as amendments, all three of my bills as an amendment to Chairman Dunn's bill tonight, our leadership in the House understands that I'm serious about making sure that the people's voice is heard and these bills are voted on. And we had a caucus meeting this afternoon, and I've been told that next Tuesday those bills will be heard. But, again, those will be heard in the Education Subcommittee. Whether it comes out of the Education Subcommittee, I don't know. I mean, you've got had commitments before, and you know, people have changed their minds. I really don't know where anybody stands right now. I haven't whipped the vote. But and I haven't seen it on the calendar either for next week. But my biggest problem is that I've got people that I need to have them come in from out of state to testify, particularly possibly Mr. James Milgram, who was on the validation committee for Common Core Math, and then Ms. Sandra Stosky for English Language Arts on the Validation Committee, and both of them didn't support Common Core and didn't validate it because it was so flawed. And I'd like to have them here. So that's my dilemma, is trying to get them here, yet meet the deadline of, you know, of a bill that could be shows up on the calendar within 4 to 5 days of me being notified.
Right. Now, okay, House Bill 2332 is the repeal Common Core. What's the number for the Park Bill and for the Teacher Evaluation Bill?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask me all that. Hang on a second. I've got so many bills. One thing I do want to tell you, David, these bills that I have, all of my education bills, about 10 of them that I filed this year, all of them were written by teachers and principals with parental input. From Rutherford County. I met within, you know, over a two-month period, took notes, wrote them up, took them to legal, they put them in language, and then I took them back to those teachers and principals and parents, and they looked at them, they critiqued them, they changed a few things, and I brought them back for the final language, and then I filed those bills. So I didn't really write any of these. It's there, and that's why I'm so adamant about them being heard. These are what they want. This is what they want to see.
And, literally the people's voice.
Literally the people's voice. I did not write one of those bills. I took the notes and I showed them how it was done, but they approved it and gave me the language that they wanted to see. So the repeal bill, like you said, is 2332. The House Bill 1828 prohibits the adoption of PARC testing altogether unless the Tennessee General Assembly votes to accept it.
Right.
To postpone Common Core, which is a bill as a backup to repealing, means we'll leave Common Core Math and English Language Arts in place because it's been fully implemented as of this year, but we will not implement any other Common Core curriculum going forward unless it's approved by the General Assembly.
Okay.
And then there is...
I've got the... While you're looking for that other one, I'm up against a hard break. I've got to take a
real quick break.
All right. Don't go away. You'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. An emergency aid package for the Ukraine has become entangled in a partisan dispute over the IMF. House Republicans are resisting President Obama's personal pleas to extend the reach of the financial rescue plan by including long-sought changes to the structure of the fund. The administration already has pledged $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees to the new government in Kiev, and the House approved an aid package Thursday with overwhelming support from both parties. But House Republicans rebuffed Obama on a request to include language that would extend a separate billion-dollar package of loans from the fund to $1.6 billion by expanding loan limits for countries like Ukraine. The National Capital Planning Commission has approved plans for a $42 million facility to screen Washington Monument visitors, replacing a temporary facility that has operated since 2001. The pavilion will be constructed with a blast-resistant laminated glass exterior layer, laminated glass interior layer, and wire mesh embedded in the middle. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Representative Rick Womack about Common Core being repealed in Tennessee, hopefully being repealed in Tennessee. Before the break, Representative Womack, you mentioned that initially when Common Core came out, you didn't have a problem with it, but that you've changed your mind since then. What were the big things that stuck out when you started doing a little bit of digging that really changed your mind?
Well, David, I have to kind of go back to when I was first elected and came up to Nashville as a representative. I was elected in November 2010 and actually came up here my first session in January 2011. And during that first session, I was invited by SCORE, the State Collaborative on Reforming Education, to come down to their headquarters here in Nashville along with some other freshman legislators and receive a briefing on Common Core. And at that time, I'm like, well, I've heard of it. I'm not sure what it is. I'm going to go find out. And they gave me an hour and 15, that was the one that showed up, by the way, an hour and 15-minute PowerPoint presentation. And during that presentation, they said that, you know, currently that Tennessee was developing Common Core standards that would be the same across county lines, across from one LEA to the other. They were working with Georgia and North Carolina using their templates. And that Common Core was written by Tennessee educators and principals and teachers and professors from our universities. It was a Tennessee project, and that it would be implemented, the first part of it, in the fall of 2011. I'm going, well, that sounds great. I mean, I'm a former teacher. I think, you know, we need good standards. We need to improve our standards. I'm there. I'm with you. Well, if you look, and what made me stop and think about what was going on here was July, when the Commissioner of Education decided to try to change teachers' licensing and make it more difficult for them to keep their license. And he was doing it through a simple act of the Tennessee State School Board. And I have received a lot of emails and even some phone calls about this from my teachers. And so I started looking into it. And as I continued to dig and dig further and basically follow the money, I realized, oh, my goodness, this isn't about just licensing. This is about complete privatization of our public school system, the takeover of our school system by the state as well as the federal government, and to impose a national testing program run by the federal government. Yeah. And as I looked at the timeline, the research I did, and I've got the documentation to back it up, as I look at the timeline, Common Core was written starting in July of 2009. It was the validation committee was put together in September of 2009. The first rough draft was finished in December 2009. And I don't know if you remember or not, but Tennessee had a special legislative session to approve Race to the Top application on January 15th, 2010. And it was sent off. And then in March of 2010, Common Core, the final draft, was revealed. The Validation Committee validated it in, I believe it was May 2010. We received Race to the Top March 29th, 2010. But then on June 2nd, 2010, Common Core State Standards was copyrighted and released by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers, which are both 501c3 private organizations, nonprofits based in Washington, D.C. and there they are, Common Core State Standards, June 2nd, 2010. And then in July, Governor Bredesen adopted the Common Core State Standards. I came up here in 2011. How could SCORE tell me that we were still writing Common Core State Standards during that time? That's not true. They were already done back in June and July of the previous year. So they didn't tell me the truth. And I'm going, wait a minute, what is going on? And as I dug further, that's when I found out what this is all about. This is a national program run by stimulus money given to the Department of Education through a program called Race to the Top to implement national standards. And if you don't believe it, what really blew me out of the water this in the last couple months is I came across a bill, Senate Bill 677, carried by Senator Gresham. And I talked to her about it, by the way, and I don't think she realized what was in the bill, but it was given to her by Students First and Michelle Ree of Students First. And basically what it does is called the Tennessee STAR Act, which makes the Commissioner of Education here in Tennessee a czar. And he can go into any school system, literally, and determine if it's not performing well enough, he can take it over. And he's the sole person that decides what will be taught, what money will be spent, and he gets rid of basically the school board and the superintendents. He runs the school system. So we have state takeover of the school system because he determines they may not be performing up to his standards. So I don't think the bill has any traction. I've been campaigning against it and lobbying against it. But the fact is, it shows their intent, and their intent is to take over the public school systems from the local control throughout the state.
So they can start the brainwashing they normally save for college earlier on, I guess, you know, so you can have the left-wing stuff from kindergarten
that's all
on through. Wow.
And if you think about it, and the whole teacher evaluation system, we've made 35% of their score based on how well kids do on the TCAP or soon-to-be the PARC test. So if the kids don't do well on the test and the teachers don't teach the test and teach the Common Core, then the teachers won't do well in their evaluations and they can be fired. So, see, we go after the teacher evaluations, we scare the teachers and make them teach Common Core and teach those tests. And at the same time, we can come in and take over low control. We privatize everything. We give it to big corporations, and they try to run it. I mean, I don't know if you've heard already, there's a bill up to allow companies to set up charter schools and using public money. I mean, it's just, it is a concerted effort to take away our rights as parents and teachers, as principals, as school board members to run our own schools.
So how much time did you get to cover these issues today when you were talking about the amendments? Did you get a good get enough time? Did you leave them with enough information that if they don't go and if they went and verified just what you told them, they should be very concerned?
Yes, and I had several, not a lot, but I didn't get to see very many people walking out. I had another several reporters, one that asked me questions, but there were two or three that came up to me and said, thanks for letting us know. So there are legislators, and just based on the two or three that I was able to talk to, I'm sure they're going to look further into this. And when they come up again, hopefully on Thursday, they'll be even more informed. And of the three amendments, I probably had 3 to 4 minutes speaking time on each one. So people were fully informed. I mean, I didn't really get into meat and potatoes, but I gave them an overview of what was going on. And for some of them, it was the first time they'd heard this.
I don't understand, and I know they're busy, and I know you guys get hit with a lot of bills and you know, a few thousand pieces of legislation, and you can't be experts on all of it. I got that. But with as much as Common Core has been in the news, I just can't understand why they would not have bothered to check both sides rather than just believing what SCORE told them. I guess I expect them to be a little more critical thinkers on those type things, but I guess not.
Well, if you look at what SCORE says in the recent pamphlet they just put out, and by the way, they just received $250,000 from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation back, I think, in September, October, and the Tennessee State Chamber of Commerce received $400,000 back in November to promote Common Core during this legislative session. And SCORE comes out with this nice, pretty glossy little book on Common Core and how great it is, and then they still say that it was developed by state leaders. Well, that's not true. It was developed by basically two individuals. David Coleman and Jason Zimba.
Well, where are all the state leaders that they claim? I mean, obviously, don't they have a list of these state leaders that were involved?
Well, that's what I've asked the chairman of the Full Education Committee for 6 weeks. I said, Mr. Chairman, provide me with the names of all these Tennesseans that were on this committee that wrote Common Core. And the thing is, it can't, because there's a work group development committee of about 20, 25 people. There's a feedback committee of 20 to 25 people. And then there's the validation committee of about 20 to 22 people. And only one person from the state of Tennessee, the former commissioner of education under Governor Bredesen, assistant commissioner of education under Governor Bredesen, was part of the math feedback. He wasn't even on the writing team. So we didn't have anybody developing Common Core. It wasn't done by Tennessee state leaders. It's all a big hoax. And David, it's about the money. Follow the money.
Yep.
If you look at, you know, you take Pearson, they've got, just for the testing, they have control of 80%. They stand to make all kinds of money just off that national assessment. And where's the money coming from? It's our public education dollars. If you look at, and here's something I've been screaming about, too, is, you know, we did do well on the NAEP test, in AEP. We moved up had a 22-point increase, moved up 8 places in the national rankings. However, at the same time, you have to look at our achievement gap. Now, our inner-city school kids did do better than they did in 2011. But from 2009 to the 2011 NAEP, our achievement gap increased by 2 points. However, our achievement gap from 2011 to 2013 jumped 14 points. It widened. It didn't get smaller. So our inner-city kids, they may be doing a little better on the testing, but they're not doing as well as their peers who are not inner-city or not disadvantaged. So why is that? Well, I personally think it's because we keep bringing in these unqualified instructors from Teach for America. They show up and teach for 6 months to a couple years, and they leave. They aren't teachers. They don't have an education background. They're given a 5-week crash course in Washington, D.C., in July, and then they're sent off to all these inner-city schools across the country. And you're asking them to teach. Teach what? Anything. Yeah, they have a college degree, but a lot of it's in liberal arts or whatever. They have no teaching experience. They have no degree in education. And so we're bringing in unqualified teachers and instructors into our inner-city schools, and I think that's why, or possibly why, you're seeing achievement gap increase.
Wow.
And, you know, our state Department of Education has given Teach for America $11.8 million of extra funding.
Our state?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Commissioner of Education has given $11.8 million of our education money over the last 4 years and into next year, $11.8 million to Teach for America. And that's on top of the fact that each school district in Memphis, and Memphis pays $4,000 per year per teacher from Teach for America to come to Memphis. And Nashville and the Achievement School District each pay $5,000 per year per teacher. So then on top of that, the state's dropping, and it comes out, the 11.8 comes out to $9,000 more per teacher. I mean, Teach for America, all they do is recruit these teachers who have, or these students who have college degrees, give them a 5-week crash course, send them off to teach in the school. They're making $14,000, $15,000, $13,000, $14,000 a teacher on this.
That is crazy. Absolutely insane. I've got to read this real quick, and I know you don't have a lot of time. I don't want to keep you late. I've got to read this real quick, and I've got a guy on the line who may have a question for you, and then I want you to kind of tell us what we can do to help this along. But let me read this real quick. The stars at night are big and bright deep in the heart of Texas, and conservativenationmedia.com has our very own big and bright Texas star, Michael Berryman. We welcome Michael and his patriotic nonsense brand of Americanism to Sunday afternoons. Michael is as involved in Texas GOP and Tea Party politics as anyone, so you won't want to miss his take on the Lone Star State conservative goings-on direct to you from Fort Worth. It's the Michael Berryman Show, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And we've got Dave Nance on the line. He's the next guest, but I think he might have a question for you, if you've got just a minute. Dave, do you have a question for Representative Womack?
Yeah, am I on the line here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I asked my representative today about it, and he said the more that he finds out about it, the less he likes it. But I asked him, I said, well, are you, you know, committed on that side? And, well, it was a little hem-haw. And I said, will you come out in our local papers and make a statement against Common Core? And he said, oh, no. He said, I don't see any reason to do that. So my state representative is Curtis Hofford. Have you had any conversation with Curtis about it, where he actually stands on it?
No, I haven't. I've been working predominantly with the members of the education subcommittee and full committee to try to educate them on what really is going on. I've put together a timeline, a six-page timeline and documentation, and that supports that. It ends up being about a 2-inch thick packet. So I have not been able to get Representative Hofford to talk.
Okay. That's all I had, Dave.
Okay, appreciate it, Dave. Before you came on, I mentioned the rally, and of course I encouraged everybody to call Representative Harwell and Representative White and Representative Harry Brooks as far as scheduling goes to get this on the calendar. Obviously you're not actually involved with the rally or anything, but what would you like to pass on to the listeners out there that they can do to help in this cause?
Well, again, first and foremost is always be polite and be respectful and professional. But I would say absolutely phone calls more so than emails to the chairman of the education committee as well as the subcommittee chairman. And that's Chairman Mark White and Chairman Harry Brooks. And if they want to call a speaker, that's fine. But the biggest thing is to have these bills heard. Now, I was in a meeting today with the leadership as well as the caucus. I was told, I haven't seen it on the calendar yet, but I was told that these bills would be heard next Tuesday. And that's good news because prior to that, it wasn't going to be until early April. And so that's good news if it's been moved up the next week. But we're still going to be voting on these bills come Thursday. And I would encourage people, especially Thursday, if they can come to the Capitol and flood the Capitol and be here and be supportive of repealing Common Core and stopping the park testing, supporting our teachers and redoing the evaluations, that they would come to the Capitol on Thursday. The session starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it will probably last till 10 or 11. You can come sit in the gallery upstairs if you want, if there's room, or you can stand out in the lobby here and watch it on the television sets. But another big day is tomorrow, noon to about 4 o'clock, when opportunity to come to Legislative Plaza and speak to your representatives. If you can come down here, that would be great, and let them know how you feel about Common Core in the park, and sticking around for the subcommittee meeting. So it's becoming involved, just like we did with the income tax. I mean, we had people driving around honking horns. I know I was part of that years ago. It was great. And you had people, legislators, listen. When legislators see people show up and their phones are ringing off the hook, I'm not talking about emails. We get a lot of canned emails. But when the phone's ringing, it's real people, and when real people show up down here, that's when legislators start to take notice that this is serious and the people mean business. So I would encourage people to do that if they can.
All right. Well, we'll definitely, you know, we'll be sending out that that word via email to everybody. And, of course, the listeners that were listening tonight can pass it on, and hopefully a good chunk of them can make it. Really appreciate what you do. You know, you fight on this, and you've fought on the Islamist issue and a lot of other issues in our state, and we appreciate how much you stand up for what's right, and you know, regardless of what others might say and the flack you get, all the left-wing press likes to slam you, but we do appreciate what you do, and we appreciate you standing up for what's right, and I appreciate you coming on the show. I know you had a long day. I won't keep you any longer, but I do appreciate you coming on, and I hope to have you back.
Yeah, it'd be an honor to come back, and I thank you for the opportunity to come speak with you all tonight, and it's my pleasure. Again, this is the people's house, and the people's voice needs to be heard, and that's what I'm all about, and nothing more than that.
Well, thank you, and God bless you. I appreciate everything you do.
God bless you and all that you do and all your listeners. Y'all take care.
Take care.
All right, good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Have a good one. Well, that was Representative Rick Womack, and you heard it. Be there tomorrow if you can. Call. Be there Thursday. And then hopefully Tuesday his bills will get a full hearing. So, you know, make sure you call the committee chairs and sub-chairs as well as calling your own representative. All right, well, hey, Dave, we're going to go ahead and get started.
All right.
I've already blown the quarter-hour break. We will have to take a break at the bottom of the hour, but let's go ahead, and I want to ask you something, and if you don't want to talk about this, we can talk about it later, but somebody that you and I both know very well is earlier today indicated to me they might be running for office. Do we have enough is that definite enough to be announced, or do we want to hold off on that one?
Well, we're going to hold off until probably April 10th to do a lot of talking about it, because the adversary, the current person who's in office, he has an opportunity to redeem himself,
okay.
If you will.
Okay.
So
okay.
Let's see what he does.
What is the filing date? What's the latest you can file that somebody could file to run for a state office?
It would be April the 3rd, noon April 3rd, and you have until noon April 10th to back out if you want to remove yourself from the ticket.
Okay. So you'd want to wait till April 3rd. That person will be waiting till April 3rd to make a decision then.
Well, yeah, April. Well, I think there's going to the petition's going to be turned in.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
But there's still that April the 10th date where it's go or no go.
Okay, I got you. All right, well, curious to see how that one turns out. I look forward to getting back with you on that one.
All right.
Now, Gibson County is, I imagine, a lot like Stewart County. You guys might spend a little more money because I think you're a little bigger county, but you guys are essentially like our county, which I suspect is like most other counties, little D.C. and Tennessee. You want to give us a little indication of what's going on in Gibson County and what you guys are trying to do about it?
Well, start at the beginning is with the spending and the budgets. And this began with the new county mayor that was elected in 2010. And the first budget prior, or the last budget prior to Mayor Witherspoon taking office, was a $6,000 deficit budget. Now, that's not enough to get excited about on an $18 million budget. The year prior to that, there was a surplus. There was a $40,000 surplus. Now, the first budget of this new mayor was $1.7 million deficit. The following year, 2013, it was a $650-something thousand dollar deficit. And in 2014, it was back up to just shy of $1 million. Now, this is three deficit budgets in a row that totaled right at $3.3 million. Now, where's the money coming from? Well, they began to suck down the cash on hand. I forget what they call it. You know, I always called it just cash count, you know. But they began to suck that down, and then they voted to borrow $1.75 million. Committee chairman made. He said, we can't afford not to. It's such a good deal. Interest rates are so low.
you know what? Our county commissioners say that. I kid you not. I heard that same thing in one of our county commission meetings. Can't afford not to.
Can't afford not to borrow, grow our county government and charge it to our kids. Anyway, they have set themselves, they so badly overplayed their hand, they really made it pretty easy for me. It was 2 months ago, I think, or close to it, the Gibson County Patriots gathered up $2,100. And unfortunately, we got 4 newspapers in Gibson County, so we ran it in all 4 newspapers, and it was rather costly. But we ran a 4-page ad, and it blew the whistle on the spending. It blew the whistle on the deficit budgets, on the growth in county government, which, incidentally, I didn't go that far. They grew our county government, the cost of our county government, 15% over a 3-year period of time. 5% annual growth in the cost of our county government. We've got the same county government we had 3 years ago. It just costs 15% more. but anyway, we blew the whole whistle on them, on the finances of the county. We exposed their voting records of all the commissioners individually. Well, it kind of is subgroups because they voted on the same things. But it produced some results. And basically, the ad was advertising, and this is the way it went in the paper. We were advertising for fiscally responsible people to run for county commission. And it worked, at least to some degree. A few of the candidates we've got now, I think you report on here, 14 candidates. We have 16 now, but we have 25 county commissioners. And all of them either complete liberals or go along to get along, don't have to do any thinking, just kind of go along with everybody else and I don't have to do any thinking. But that's where we are today. We've got 16 candidates, and I'm kind of being the campaign advisor for all of them, as well as the new candidate for county mayor, who I can't say I recruited him. I certainly encouraged him and told him he'd have my support. And he decided not to hire a campaign manager. You know, maybe should have, but he said, I think we can do it. So I'm helping him, and I'll be helping all these candidates. But right now, we're waiting until the filing date, in the case of the county commissioners, is April the 3rd, noon April 3rd. And then we'll know the lay of the land and who all's running, who all's not, and what have you. But at that point, we'll begin to kick it in gear. And I've got a schedule made out for, each stage of the campaign. And I'll be meeting with all of these conservative candidates. And we're kind of working together. And we've got the county database. And I don't want to give away all of my...
all of your trade secrets.
Yeah. I don't give it all away on the phone tonight, but we've got it together. We've got the county database. I've got it busted up into early voters and election day voters, and then I've got it separated by district so I can give each commissioner his district. And so we're getting there. We're on a roll, and I think we're going to win a lot of these positions. I wish I could say we're going to win them all. I hope we do. That would be a fun thing to talk about on here. But
you've got 16 right now, and you've still got some time. Maybe a few more will come out between now and then. I've got to step in here real quick. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. Boy, do we ever need to do that. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to patriotic gear you'll need today and the future. Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And Dave, I've got to take a quick break, but don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
Stay right here.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we are talking with Dave Nance, not Vance, but Nance from Gibson County. We're talking about the 16 commissioners that are going to be running for office, that conservative constitutional candidates that he's helped recruit and or encourage to run. And Dave, before we start, we still have Kurt on the line. Kurt, I know you're running for county commissioner in Henry County. You got anything you want to ask Dave or any comments?
Yeah, just, hey, Dave's done a good job down here in Gibson County. I don't know how many more we'll get up here. I know that I've got myself and Jeremy Schultz that are two ultra-right-wing nuts. running up here, and I had a phone conversation with a guy I never met before today, but I like what I found out about him already. He's heavily involved with the Friends of NRA banquet up here, and he for one time was a manager of a shooting range here, and he bills himself as staunch conservative. He's an avid Second Amendment rights guy, and says he's been chewing on the idea of running county commission. I said, you and I need to talk. So hopefully I'll be talking with this guy pretty soon. As a matter of fact, I should see him Saturday night at our event, which that's got me pretty well tied down trying to get ready for that. I cannot go to Nashville this week. I wish I could, but I can't.
Okay. Well, back to you, Dave.
Well, Dave, one of the things that our situation here in Gibson County, we've got 25 county commissioners, and that's the most the law will allow. And the state of Tennessee says we have to have somewhere between 10 and 25 commissioners. We've got 25. And it really is unfortunate because I think a lot of them do simply wait to see what the consensus is and vote along to get along. And so a lot of people view that as a problem, so many commissioners. And we can potentially change that. And what I'm waiting to see is if we might possibly get a supermajority of conservatives on the county commission. And then you start looking at the potential for home rule charter.
Yep.
And we can talk about that for a minute, and I think we'll have time. There's two ways that a county can go about establishing home rule charter. One is to petition to elect a charter commission. And it takes so many votes, you know, according to the last governor's election, I think it was something like 1,600 signatures on petition. And then the process goes after you petition to elect a charter commission, then, you know, it goes to the ballots and, you know, it's like a standard election. You know, people get elected to the charter commission. And cutting this a little short, but the Charter Commission, once elected, they draft a charter for the county. Then it goes to the public for votes in the next county election. Well, if it, the process can also be initiated by the county commission. If a supermajority or two-thirds of the county commission can elect to allow the county mayor to appoint the charter commission. Now, the charter commission has to be made up of at least one candidate from its districts, from each district in the county. Now, we have 19 districts and 25 commissioners, and it's really odd. We have most of our districts have one commissioner. Some districts have two commissioners. One district has three commissioners.
I thought you were supposed to be limited to two. I thought it was two per district is what you were supposed to have.
No, you can probably make as you can actually make as big a mess as you want to. And when we were redistricting back after the census, the people from the state of Tennessee, from the UT, actually, you know, helps with that redistricting. And basically, I was in this committee, in this county commission meeting when they were presenting different alternatives. And basically, bottom line said, you folks got the biggest mess we've ever seen. And they offered different alternatives, they offered eight districts, three commissioners per district. They offered, you know, several different things. And this county commission wouldn't have anything else except exactly what they got, a mess. And it is. But one of our candidates, but anyway, that's a thought in the background there. Could we possibly, you know, initiate a, you know, creating a Helm Rule charter? And it'd be a good thing because there's two major things.
What would you want to do with that charter?
Well, two primary for any county. Number one is require a balanced budget. Number two is to establish a debt ceiling. Now, those two things most every voter would want.
Right.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean,
and if you have the balanced budget, you're going to want a debt limit with it. Otherwise, then they would just be forced to say, well, you know, we don't want to do it, but we got to raise these property taxes or we got to pass this wheel tax in order to keep up with our charter.
Well, now they can still raise taxes. Neither one of those moves would keep them from increasing taxes, but requiring a balanced budget means that the people are serving can't go borrow the money. They're going to have to take the political hit for, you know, raising the taxes. If they raise the budget, they're going to have to raise taxes at the same time.
Right.
So that puts some restraint on them. And in a debt ceiling, of course. I mean, you take a look at Shelby County. Shelby County owes more money than the entire state of Tennessee.
Wow.
So
I knew they were bad. I didn't know they were that bad.
They can really be irresponsible, and they are. I mean, our county commission, and I've stated it in the paper on numerous occasions, that they're completely irresponsible. And I'll continue to state it, and I don't care what they think. It's the bottom line truth.
Yeah. How many people are in Gibson County?
49,600 and some odd.
49,000?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
So if it had broke over 50,000 on the last census, the mayor and all the elected officials would have gotten a raise. Breaks my heart. But, I mean, there's a lot going on. It's Gibson County has got another problem. We've got, rather than the county running our schools, we have five special school districts. The county is completely divorced from the school system. And each of these five special school districts has taxing power.
Good Lord, that's crazy.
Well, just this week, matter of fact, and I'm not sure if the vote has been taken yet because the paper hadn't come out since the last school board meeting. The Milan Special School District was going to raise taxes a quarter. Well, it made me boil. I don't usually get involved in the cities within the county because we can get spread too thin. But
right.
I knew enough about the Milan Special School District that I said, good grief. And so I started digging up some numbers. I had dug up a few months ago. Probably longer than that. It's probably been a year. Well, the average, what they were looking for, and they were raising the taxes a quarter for 7 years. Now, get me, of course, they're going to do away with this quarter in 7 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
It always happens. You know, taxes always go back down, right?
Yeah. Every time.
They were looking for a quarter, and they were going to raise $2.7 million for renovations and repairs. And so I remembered that I would look back, and the average school system in Tennessee has one administrator for every 200 students. So I looked at the Milan Special School District, and they had one administrator for every 118 students. So just doing some quick math here, I say, well, they should have 10.6 administrators. Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, 11 administrators.
Yeah.
So they've got 7 too many administrators. And I guess they're playing some game on the computer. I don't know. But those 7 administrators, if you took their pay and benefits at $55,000 over 7 years, guess what you come up with? $2.7 million. So I got a letter to the editor to be out in the tomorrow's paper in Milan that it kind of exposes that and indicates that if our superintendent is mismanaging that badly in that one area, how bad could it be?
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah. I got to jump in real quick. This America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Committee with Matthew Opalowski, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And back to you, Dave.
Yeah, where I was going is the Milan Special School District. But anyway, we'll see, you know, what is the fan tomorrow after the letter to the editor comes out. But likely not a lot, but our Tea Party meeting is tomorrow night, and I'm sure there's going to be some discussion there. But we've got one of the sheriff candidates speaking tomorrow night. So, you know, tomorrow night will be a good meeting for the Gibson County Patriots. But, our county is generally a little messed up. And
I think most of the counties are. I haven't heard too many people brag about their county government, period.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we've got problems here for sure.
Dave, what I'd like, you know, your listeners out there, you've got to encourage conservatives to run for office, and hard, because the fact is conservatives do not like the idea of running for office. They don't want to. They don't want to control other people. They don't want to spend other people's money. Basically, they want to be left alone. But if they don't run for office, they're not going to be left alone.
No. The liberals still run.
That's controlling other people, spending other people's money is exactly what liberals love to do. And
in Tennessee especially, the county governments are an extension of the state government. And, you know, I've heard a couple of the reps up there have mentioned that, you know, how important it is that, you know, as important as the state level is, that they need help at the county level too, because you got to remember when the federal government comes in with its bribes, you know, they're bribing the counties too. They're not just bribing the states. And I guarantee you, if you look in Gibson County, and I know here in Stewart County, and I bet you every other county in the state, there's a long list of federal grants and federal programs and federal monies that we've either, received as a grant with strings or borrowed with strings or whatever the case might be. And so that's all part of this fight. If you want smaller government, it's not just at the state level. It's at the county level, too.
You've got
to get conservatives at every level. You have to have conservatives.
Well, the city of Milan, speaking of grants, got a grant for a big tornado shelter above ground. I mean, it's a building built to withstand a tornado. And that's why it cost so much money, $2.6 million, and it was a federal grant. And the Milan mayor made the statement in the paper that why not? It's, you know, somebody else is willing to give us the money. Where's the money coming from? You know, it's coming from us. But I don't know how Milan has done without this tornado shelter for the last 150 years. But somehow we've made it.
Well, here in Stewart County, we got this visitor center that was federal money, but we had to put up some money as well, which, of course, we didn't have. And, oh, by the way, they never took into account manning it. So the visitor center that I know of here in Stewart County is manned. I don't believe there's any paid employees. If it wasn't for the retirees that were willing to and in some cases didn't have much else to do and were wanted to have something to fill up their days with, I don't know who would be running the visitor center here in Stewart County. So
all things weren't taken into account.
Yeah. So, Dave, we're going to take a real quick break here, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Okay.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And I'm talking with Dave Nance. That's Nance with an N from Gibson County. And, Dave, appreciate you being with us. Covered a lot of ground tonight on county stuff. And you want to leave the listeners with some things to think about as far as county government goes?
Yeah, and I'm sure I've told everybody everything they really didn't care about knowing about Gibson County. But the point is to watch your county. And watch what the county commission is doing, and do something about it. Step up for office or encourage your neighbor, your conservative neighbor, to. And a lot of our legislators in Nashville right now came right from the county commissioners. And when you keep up with their voting records on the county commission, and when one starts to run for higher office, stomp him like a bug. You know, try to beat him before he gets there, because that's where these clowns are coming from. And keep an eye on them. We hope to send a lot of them home in August 7th, matter of fact. And I didn't mention, matter of fact, that my wife was one of the first ones to step up and run, and I'm proud of her. We're in one of the largest districts in Gibson County because it doesn't take in any of the townships. It's just strictly all rural. so it's quite a big district. So she's got her work cut out for her.
Well, I'm sure she'll do a good job. She's a good woman, and she doesn't strike me as the type that puts up with too much junk. So I'd like to, I hope to hear that she makes it in there.
She don't put up with a lot out of me, that's for sure. Anyway, it's good to be on tonight, Dave, and I hope somebody got some benefit from this and maybe encourage somebody to step up and run for office.
Well, Dave, we appreciate you having, and we'll be in touch with you to see how everything goes. Take care.
Thanks, Dave. Good night.
Have a good one. Haven't talked about it any tonight, but I do want to hit on it. Annexation in Tennessee. Senate Bill 869 is they're going to be hearing it, I believe, next week. I could be wrong on that. But you need to call your state senator and get him to co-sponsor Senate Bill 869. The annexation issue is basically right now what we have in Tennessee is a metropolitan area can, on its own, annex an area outside its boundaries, basically for whatever, you know, they come up with, you know, whatever formula and say, well, hey, you know what, it's a benefit to us and it's a benefit to these citizens that we're going to annex them. Now, you got to keep in mind those people that are being annexed don't have a voice right now. They don't have a vote. So we need, if your property is going to be taken, you need to have a vote in the issue. And so Senate Bill 869 will do that. And that's sponsored originally by Senator Rusty Crow. I think Senator Bo Watson has actually taken over control of that bill now. But annexation, you know, forced annexation is just flat out wrong. That's taking somebody's property without them even having a say. It's similar to the whole eminent domain issue. But Senate Bill 869 would require a vote of the people being annexed. So if you're not following that issue, and it may not affect you right now, but if you live outside of a decent-sized city, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be Nashville or Memphis. You know, there could come a time down the line when all of a sudden they decide to annex you. And, oh, by the way, your county commission, especially if it's made up of a bunch of libs, that city will dangle some dollars. They'll say, hey, you know, we're going to split revenue with you for the first 15 years. 15 years is a long time. So most of those people figure, well, I won't be in office then anyway, so I don't care. Well, after 15 years, that revenue sharing goes away. And then, of course, you're not necessarily going to get all of the benefits of being annexed. And, of course, they, generally speaking, annex the nice parts. They're not going to annex a rundown part of town, I mean a rundown part of the county. They're going to annex the part of the county that has nice homes, you know, high property values. They look at a tax base. That's what they look at. Okay, what kind of taxes could we take in if we annexed this part of the county? So Senate Bill 869, if your senator's not a co-sponsor, give him a call. Ask him to co-sponsor. Go look it up on the Tennessee.gov website, read about the bill. But the basically what it does is it takes away for cities to forcibly annex, and it ensures that the citizens being annexed have a vote. Now, in some cases, they might want to be annexed, but they need to have a vote, need to have a say on that issue. Well, I thank everybody for being with us tonight. Oh, a couple more reminders here before we go. Common Core Rally this week. Remember, we talked to Representative Womack earlier tonight. Tomorrow, if you can be there, his bills are going to be voted on as amendments. And if that doesn't work, the following Tuesday, he is being told that they will be, they'll get a vote the following Tuesday. He also mentioned being there Thursday. And, of course, the rally, which he's not involved with the rally, but the rally is 1 o'clock on Wednesday at Legislative Plaza. At a minimum, call the Education Committee Chair, Harry Brooks, and the Subcommittee Education Chair, White is his last name. And where did I stick that paper at? Mark White. Okay, and Representative Mark White's number is 615-741-4415. Representative Harry Brooks is 615-741-6879. And call them and encourage them to have HB 2332, the repeal Common Core bill, to have it scheduled. Let there be a vote on it. All right. Also, as a reminder, the 18th of March, Tuesday the 18th of March at Woodmont Bible Church, 1710 Woodmont Boulevard, Nashville, Tennessee, from 7 to 9 p.m. You will have Julie Aftab. She's the Pakistani Christian who, for the crime of being a Christian in a predominantly Muslim country, you know that great religion of peace they call it, had acid poured on her face and down her throat, which scorched her esophagus. And this is sponsored by the Ag Middle Tennessee Chapter, Tennessee Freedom Coalition, Tennessee Eagle Forum, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, the 912 Project, and Kevin Kukajit. And Julie will also be in Clarksville this Sunday, March the 16th, 1 o'clock at the Montgomery County Library. So if you can make it out, come out and hear her testimony. I'm sure it's she's the same woman you may have heard of a few weeks ago that was on stage with Alan West. And just hearing her testimony kind of got to Alan West. So certainly worth driving out to hear. Thank you for being with us. And actually, I'm going to give Kurt a minute here. Kurt, I want you to plug your event for this coming Saturday, if you could. I know I don't remember all the details. I know you've got Dr. Atticott, who we had last week, and you got John Harris. But other than that, let's do a little promo for your event this weekend.
Yeah, Saturday, thanks, Dave. Saturday, which is March the 15th, 6:30 p.m., at the Henry County Fairgrounds in Ferris, Tennessee. As Dave said, Professor Jeffrey Atticott, 20 years in the military, Lieutenant Colonel, JAG officer, served 5 of his 20 years. He was the legal counsel for the Special Forces of the United States Army. That is going some, folks. It'll be a long time before we have anybody speaking in Paris, Tennessee, I think, in the caliber of Professor Atticott. And, of course, John Harris stands on his own as a Second Amendment activist. This ain't going to be your grandfather's Reagan Day dinner, folks. I promise you. We're giving away as a door prize a Remington 887 Nitro Mag Tactical 12-gauge shotgun. So,
is that in case rhinos show up? Is that in case the rhinos show up, Kurt?
I'd probably best not address that issue on the air, Dave.
Okay.
But anyway, come on out for that event, folks. It's going to be a barn burner.
All right. Well, we're about out of time, Kurt. Hey, thanks a lot. Take care. Hope to see everybody there Saturday. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
We will see you next week. We'll have Dr. Bill Warner with us next week. Thanks. Take care. God bless.